Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsession and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Louisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
Welcome, Rachel.
Welcome, Lou. How are you?
I am doing well. How about you?
I am good. We have had, today has been our first warm and not rainy day in about 2 weeks. So I'm just loving the fact that I can walk outside and not get wet.
That is exciting. Yeah. I've been getting text messages from my parents who are also loving this warm weather. My parents live in South Carolina, so probably similar weather. And they're just so excited that they can like be outside finally.
Yes, it's so nice.
That is nice. We're under a wind advisory here, so it's not as nice. Well, I don't know. It's frustrating because it's like a lovely warm day. It's like high 60s, low 70s, and it's very sunny. But it's also very windy.
Blow you away.
Yeah, like Mary Poppins, but not as lovely, you know, with the umbrella.
You picked the wrong movie for today, huh?
I was going to say, is that the right movie that I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
What's weird? I get Mary Poppins and Sound of Music mixed up, even though the plots are nothing alike. But I think it's just because they both seem to come from like that same era to me anyway, you know, like.
Yeah, I could see that. And is she in both of them? She's in both? Is it the same lady?
Is she? Oh, maybe that's why then. Yeah. Julie Andrews?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I can come up with the rest of it.
Val, you can cut this part out because this is just tangential. I don't know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the weather. That's right. The weather. Well, other than being able to go outside, what else is going on?
Not too much. We're coming up on our spring break. I took some time off to come see you, but since things are crazy still, it lines up with Mike's spring break. So we're going to be doing some projects around the house, and hopefully the weather will stay nice and we can do some outside too.
That'll be good. Yeah, I know. I am super bummed. This visit has been rescheduled, what, like three times already?
I think so, yeah.
Because we keep hoping that things will be safer for travel, and then it's not. I mean, I guess now things are finally getting better.
Yeah, I think the next time we reschedule will probably be the last time because I see things are getting better.
Yeah, I do too. So I look forward to you eventually coming to visit. And while I am sad that this spring break will not be spent with me, I'm glad that you will be doing lots of home renovation projects. I'm sure there will be a lot of good stories that come out of that.
There always are.
Hopefully no holes in your walls or destroyed trees in your yard. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. But if it doesn't, at least it'll be a good story.
That's right. So what's new with you?
Well, what is new with me? I have been baking a good bit, but I've been having to adjust my baking style because I have gone dairy-free while I'm nursing my daughter because she has had some tummy issues and her pediatrician seems to think that she might be intolerant to milk protein. So she asked me to cut out all dairy products from my diet, which was overwhelming at first. But now that I'm almost a month in, I think I've gotten the hang of it. But what's tough is wanting to make all of these baking projects that call for butter and whole milk or cream cheese. And so I've been spending a while just trying to test out new things. And I guess that's fitting because this whole season we've been doing segments where we've talked about alternative baking.
I had that same thought. And every time I look at like our coming up content, I'm like, I wonder how she's going to do this one dairy-free. So, yeah.
I mean, it's both frustrating, but also like, okay, it's a new challenge for me. And really, I've just been trying out different brands for dairy-free baking. I've been making a lot of cookies, which is an easier thing to substitute. So I found a couple of brands. I found this one that's called Miyoko's vegan butter, and it's made out of cashew and coconut oil that I liked a lot. I tried the Earth Balance dairy-free butter, which I did not like. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I gave it a fair shot, because what happened was that I used it for cookies and I didn't realize that it was salted and not unsalted. And so I added that butter plus like the amount of salt that it called for. And the cookies were so salty. And I made those when my brother and my dad and my brother-in-law were here visiting. And they were also polite about it. They're like, they're not bad. They're just kind of salty. And you kind of forget about the salt by the end. I'm like, yeah, because the salt is like completely like saturated. Yeah, absolutely. So that's why you can't taste it. So I don't know. I mean, I say I'm not a fan of that brand, but maybe I should give the unsalted version a shot, because I think a lot of people who are dairy-free seem to like the Earth Balance. Yeah. And then other than that, we've just been hanging out with the baby and we started a new show. I was going to tell you, have you seen Ted Lasso? It's on Apple TV.
No, and I've not heard of this one either.
So I think you actually would really like it. It's very heartwarming, which is nice, because I feel like Raul and I tend to gravitate towards really heavy content sometimes. Like, he really likes to watch Forensic Files. It's all about crime. And I also really like to watch the serial killer documentaries on Netflix. So, and while it's interesting and, you know, entertaining, it can be a bit much. So Ted Lasso is about this football coach from Kansas who gets hired to coach a soccer team in the UK. And and he has no experience coaching soccer, obviously. And he's just like this really sweet, upbeat, positive person who just like is plunked into this situation where he has no idea what he's doing. And he kind of, in his own unique coaching style, like brings this team together. And it's really sweet. Like, it's just funny and not complicated. And I think you would really like it. So yeah. I don't know if you have Apple TV, but if you do.
I don't, but that sounds really good. I might have to try it.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Mike has been on a Scrubs kick. And so since I'm here, I watch it too. So he started back on season one, episode one of Scrubs. I'm just trying to watch them all the way through.
Cool. I never got into Scrubs, but that seems to be a show that a lot of people really enjoyed. Do you like it so far?
So yeah, I never really got into it either. Kind of that kind of humor just didn't appeal to me. But now that I've seen, like, I think all of the first season and part of the second, it's starting to wear me down, I guess. I like it.
That's good. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, we've been taking, we like polling people, because everyone has like a show that they really enjoyed, older shows, you know, that they're like, oh, if you're going to go back and watch something a little bit older, check this one out. So have to add Scrubs to the list.
Yeah, my boss was telling me, because we took a trip down to Wilmington together, that she has started watching Dawson's Creek for the first time. She didn't watch it when it came out, but she sat down and is working her way through that. So that's another old one.
See, and that's nice, because that's set in North Carolina, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I never watched Dawson's Creek either, did you?
No, I saw an episode or two, but that was because my Girl Scout troop went to Wilmington and toured the film studio where they were filmed. So I wanted to know what we were going to go see. So I watched a couple episodes, but I wasn't into it.
Ooh, that's exciting. Did you see any of the stars of the show while you were there?
No, we did not.
Darn. Katie Holmes and I forget who else. These guys that have faces that I recognize, but I don't know.
You sound like me.
Like, oh yeah, that guy.
For the longest time, I would mix up Owen Wilson and Matthew McConaughey, because they were both just two blonde guys that I recognized and I couldn't keep straight which one was which.
That's fair. And they're both kind of quirky too. So, you know, that's funny. Well, this was another episode of Rachel and Louisa try to remember names of people and shows and can't quite pinpoint it. We've been playing this game. This is the last segue, I promise, Raul, and then we'll get to the real stuff. But we've been playing this game. It's like a Blockbuster-inspired game. Did I tell you about this, Rachel?
I don't think so. This game.
So it's really cool that the game, it looks really cool. It looks like it comes in a VHS case.
Oh, cool.
And it's different. It has cards with different movies on it. And you break up into teams and you are trying to get your team member to guess the name of the movie. But there are different ways to give them clues about what the movie is. And so You can either give them one word to describe the movie, you can give a quote from the movie, or you can act out a scene in the movie. And those are the ways that you try to get your teammate to guess what the movie is. And we played this last week when my brother and my brother-in-law were here. And it's super fun, but it's funny because like my brother and I are similar in the sense that like we've seen a lot of movies, but it's really hard to recall like specific actors or, you know what I mean? Or like, I don't remember quotes that well, unless they're like, I guess, really memorable. So it was funny because both of us had the same reaction. We would be like, oh yeah, like we recognize it, but there's no way for us to really
know.
Like search deep down in my brain and neither one of us could pull the names out. And then Raul and his brother Daniel are very similar in that they just retain a lot of that content. And so it was just funny to see the differences in siblings. And I'm like, these two, I don't know how they do it, but they're just really good about remembering specific actors and films and stuff.
They are very good at that.
They are. It's a special talent. And Marin and I are not like that, but it was fun. We'll play someday. We won't be on the same team though, because we will lose. So maybe if we play with Mike and Raul, you know,
then we'll have a chance.
Split it up that way. Yeah. Me and Mike versus you and Raul.
That's there we go.
Change it up.
Oh, I wanted to tell you too about what I've been baking.
Oh yeah. Tell me.
So, and I hate to say this after we kind of bashed the New York Times recipes, but I have been loving their chocolate chip shortbread recipe.
Oh, yeah. You sent me a picture
really
of that.
Really good. Yeah. Really buttery, really light. I mean, you could just like inhale them. And then I got tired of eating cookies, but I still had some chocolate chips and kind of wanted something chocolatey. So I was Googling around and I came up with a really good chocolate chip scone recipe. And this time I got them to actually make a batter. They weren't liquidy like we did when we did our bake-off challenge. And they were so tender. I don't think I've ever eaten anything that tender in my life before. They were so good. I ate them all by myself.
I love that. So you kind of did a DIY.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, with the scones. Yeah. I saw the pictures you sent me, and we were talking about shortbread. Like, I feel like I kind of hated on it for a while, but it's, I don't know, it's underrated. It's really delicious. And I would try that with the chocolate chip in it. Sounds
yeah,
really good.
It's good. And I kind of felt the same way. Like, I just feel like it was kind of plain before. But lately, I've really liked it. And when I was in Wilmington, I stopped at a bakery on my home and was like, do you have any shortbread? He's like, no, but we have these cookies that are really similar. And I said, okay, so I got one. He's like, you just want one? And I was like, yeah, I just want one. And I'm so glad I just got one because they were like awful. They were like rock hard. Like stale vanilla wafer taste almost. I was like, this is nothing like shortbread.
Oh no. I thought this was going the other way. I thought you were going to say, I'm glad I only got one because they were so delicious. I would have inhaled them.
Right? No, they were terrible.
Boo. All the more reason for us to start our own bakery someday, because I feel like we've had a fair amount of experiences where we go and things are like dry or stale or.
Yes.
I don't know.
Can our claim to fame be that we offer reliable baked goods?
Yeah, reliable is a good place to start, I think. We could just be that, then we'll be good to go.
Right.
Well, then if you feel like you're in the mood to make them again, send me some, Rachel.
Yes, I imagine they would probably ship really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Baking is a great way to explore the food of other countries. This season, we've been baking our way around the world without leaving our kitchens. In this episode, we traveled to France, which, as we all know, is pretty legendary when it comes to baked goods. As is procrastinating tradition, our Bake Around the World stop is accompanied by some pop trivia. Haha, are you ready, Rachel?
I'm ready as long as you're not going to ask me the questions in French.
Luckily, I don't speak French, and also when I try to pronounce things in French, I don't do the accent well, so I think you're safe. But I think you'll like this one because I'm going to describe some famous French desserts for you, and I'm going to give you three descriptive words or phrases for each baked good that I'm thinking of or dessert, and hopefully that'll be enough for you to guess what dessert I'm thinking of, okay?
Okay, that sounds like fun.
Okay, so the first one is Cake, small, and rum.
Is it Rum Baba's?
It is Rum Baba. Yay. Which you have made before, right?
No.
Oh.
I want to make them. They're on my list.
I don't know why I have this very clear memory of you.
At least I don't think I've made them. Maybe I made them and I forgot I made them. Maybe there was too much rum in them.
Maybe there's an alternate timeline when you made these. Or maybe you made them with too much rum. Took a nice little Rum Baba nap after.
There we go.
Okay, very nice. All right, what about this one? Egg whites, almond flour, feet.
Ooh, macaron.
Yes, ding, ding, ding. Raul, we need a ding, ding, ding sound effect. Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Because I don't want it to be just my voice. Note to you to put that in here if you can. Okay. Wow, you're on a roll. Let's do another one. Okay, what about this one? Sponge, shell, light.
Shell. Sponge, shell. I don't know. Is it Madeline?
It is Madeline.
Okay, there we go.
Shell can be a little, yeah. I can see how that's a little tricky. Like shell shaped.
Yes, and that's what I finally got around to. At first, I was thinking something in a shell, and I was like, I have no idea. But then I started thinking shell shaped, and I remembered making those with you. So, yep.
Madeline's. Okay. What about? Okay. There's two more. Puff pastry, butterfly, cookie.
Butterfly. Oh. Here goes my French. Is it like pommier?
Pommier, yeah.
You like that?
I had to look up how to pronounce it. Pommier.
I did not realize those were meant to be butterflies.
Well, here's the thing. I was looking it up and people describe it differently. So I saw like elephant ear as a term people used to describe them. And I think that might be, no, that's not.
That would remind me of like funnel cake.
Yeah. Elephant ear. Then someone also put in pig's ear.
Oh, goodness.
Which I think might be what it translates to. I don't know if someone fact checked me, but palmier might be pig's ear in French. Maybe. I'll double check that. Butterflies seem like the cutest descriptive term, though, so that's what I went with.
Yes, I like that much better.
Okay, last one. 1,000 sheets, puff pastry, and cream.
We made these, didn't we? Or maybe...
We did.
Millefilly? I don't know.
Milfoy. You are right.
Milfoy. There we go.
Yes. I had to look that one up too.
Filly's a horse.
Milfoy. You got them all right. Round of applause.
That surprised me. When I looked at your clues when I first logged on, I was like, I don't know what these are. Like, the more I thought about them, they kind of came together.
Very nice, Rachel. Yeah. And we made the milfoy, and we've made macarons a good amount of times, but I don't think we've made the other ones. Oh, Madeline's. We made Madeline before.
Yep, we made Madeline's when you lived in Charleston.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, well, now that we have French desserts on the brain, let's share what we decided to make for this Bake Around the World stop.
You're going to keep making me say French words, huh?
Should have brushed up. Did you take French in high school?
I did not, no. And I Googled this several times, so I'm going to, but every time, so my memory never holds pronunciations quite the same way as how they are actually pronounced when I'm like looking them up on Google.
Yeah.
But I went for a savory spin on this and made what I think is gousiers, which is a choux dough or choux dough and with cheese in it. It's basically a savory cream puff.
Ooh.
And I really like choux. Like the one time I've made eclairs, I don't think I've made cream puffs. And then I made these. It seems simple. Like you mix it up on the stovetop and then you pipe them out and bake them and they look pretty, but they really weren't a whole lot of work. Mine turned out really well. I didn't have the cheese called for, but the recipe said, you know, you can use a blend of cheeses or use whatever you want. So I used what I had, which was mostly cheddar and Parmesan. And they were really good. They were like puffy, sophisticated versions of Cheez-Its or Goldfish crackers.
Wow. And what kind of cheese, just out of curiosity, did they call for?
I want to say Gruyere, maybe.
Okay.
And Parmesan. I think theirs was a blend too, but I soaked in cheddar and it was really good. And I ate them so fresh. They were really good when they were hot. Like if you wanted to make them for a party as an appetizer, but then I ate them the next day with like soup for lunch and they were still pretty good. They weren't as, they're almost crispy on the outside and soft on the inside when they're hot, but they lost that crispiness the next day, but okay. They were still pretty good. I would definitely make these again.
Very nice. So essentially like puff pastries with cheese in them.
Like a cream puff with cheese.
Cream puff, not puff pastry.
Yeah, no, I wasn't about to mess with puff pastry.
Cream puff with cheese in it. That sounds really good. So all sweets and no lows, huh?
Yes, I was very happy with that.
Very nice.
Did you mess with puff pastry for years?
I did, and tell me why I did, Rachel, because I just complain about it. All I do is complain about puff pastry, and then I was looking up French desserts, and I was like, you know what I want to make? Puff pastry.
Got this love-hate thing going on.
I know. I don't know. I must like suffering. Made myself torture. Yeah, so I looked this up too, and I hope I remember this correctly. Tarte tatin?
I think so, yeah.
No, wait, no. I remember now. Tarte tatin. That's fun to say. Tarte tatin.
That is fun to say.
Which is essentially like an upside down apple pie. And I used a New York Times recipe that I hated. I don't know what it is about me and the New York Times. I'm glad you had success though with yours, but I just feel like the steps were, things were like left vague that I wanted clarification for. Mm. And I'm not going to blame it all on the recipe because I think part of the reason why this didn't turn out well is because I wasn't paying close enough attention to an important part. So essentially the way you're making this is that you're cooking apples in butter and sugar and you're caramelizing them and then you're topping it with puff pastry and you bake it. And then you're, when it cools, you flip it over. And the idea is that the apples will be really nice and caramelized and make a really beautiful pattern for the top of the tart. And I made rough puff, a different recipe for rough puff, which I really liked, which I'll make sure to share on the blog because I think this is going to be my go-to. And I don't know whether it was like because the recipe was more simplified or whether it's, you know, I've made rough puff and puff pastry several times now, so it doesn't seem as overwhelming, but for some reason it just didn't seem that bad. So I think maybe I'm over my puff pastry, rough puff hatred. I think now, yes. Like I have a go-to recipe and I wouldn't mind making it more often.
Wow.
I know.
Recording.
listen to me, you guys. Oh my gosh. And yeah, so I don't know. So anyway, what I didn't like about the New York Times recipe that I used for this bake was that it just told me to wait until things were caramelized. So I'm just sitting there, you know, waiting for my apples to smell like they're caramelized. And we hit like the window of time that it recommended. It said, do not exceed this amount of minutes. And we hit that. And I was like, it doesn't smell caramelized to me. So I just felt like I had to keep going. And what happened is that I went too far out from that window and I ended up scorching half of the tart.
Oh no.
So yeah, so like when I flipped it, and the sad thing is like, you've already covered it. So you can't really see what's happening. The only thing that you can go off of is the smell. Do you know what I mean?
That's really bad. Indicator when these things are done that you can no longer see.
Yeah.
Take it out of the oven.
Yeah. I feel like sight is an important sense to have to determine whether your baking is going well or not. And so, yeah, because it's covered with the rough puff, all you have to go off is, does that smell burnt or caramelized? And it was hard for me to find that, you know, sweet spot. So I ended up slightly burning half of the tart, and when I flipped it over, I was so sad. I cried a little bit. I like am crying. I think it's just like, I don't know, postpartum stuff, honestly. Yeah. But yeah, so I cried a little bit because I was so upset. It tasted good though. Like the rough puff, the puff pastry tasted really well, and it's easy. I would do it again. I just would maybe use a different recipe because since then I've done more research, and I'm like, I just feel like maybe the way this was laid out was more difficult than it needed to be or just not as clear in certain parts. So I would do it again because I think I can be successful. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But it sounds good.
It tasted good. Even the kind of burnt parts tasted good.
At least it tasted good.
It tasted good. So I will be back, France, is what I'm trying to say.
Nice.
I'll try it again.
Do you think you could do the same concept with different fruit?
I think so. Although you'd want to pick something that, like, apples lend themselves well. I guess pears would probably work. I could see it working with pears.
That's true, because the fruit would just kind of get, like, mushy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else would be. Peaches you could probably use.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Right? That'd be fun to look up variations. What I would really love, I don't know how this would work because I don't think they would lend themselves well to this, but like a mango.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Something very summery.
Oh, my. Getting so excited.
Now we've got those wheels turning.
Stay tuned, you guys, for when I try the tarte tatin again with a different fruit and a different recipe and see how it goes.
In procrastinating lingo, BIY stands for Bake It Yours. We love to customize and tweak recipes to make them what we really, really want. In this BIY segment, we are covering all things cereal and how to include cereal into our bakes. So growing up, I loved Smacks cereal. And then in high school, I got on a, goodness, I don't even remember what it's called now, that chocolate peanut butter cereal, Captain Crunch peanut butter.
They had a peanut butter version?
What? Yes. It was so good. I guess last time I was in high school, my mom didn't care anymore or figured I'd developed enough to have more sugar in my cereal. And then I also got hooked on store brand Apple Jacks. I had tried regular Apple Jacks and didn't like it, but went to a friend's house and they had some kind of off brand and it was really good. So those were my cereals growing up.
What are Smacks? I don't know those.
They're like a flaky cereal with like a honey flavor, I think. Hmm. I don't like them now. Now I'm not big on like flaky cereal, like Honey Bunches of Oats or something like that. Like I don't, Raisin Bran, I don't like it.
Mm. But back in the day, that was...
That was the cereal of choice.
Yeah, that was my other question. Like, do you still regularly eat these things? But now we're like mature adults, so we can't really
eat. Yeah, now I eat granola.
Ooh, fancy. That's funny. I liked, did you say Cap'n Crunch was the peanut butter one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that cereal too. But did you ever notice, for me, Cap'n Crunch always kind of like cut up the roof of my mouth because it was like the shape of the cereal. It was just like really sharp. I don't know how to describe it, but I just remember it would leave.
That would be the crunch part.
Yeah. Lives up to the name. Now I really want cereal, Rachel. I'm craving it. For me, I really loved Lucky Charms. That was like my favorite cereal. And I used to pick out the marshmallows and save them for the end. Oh, so good. I saw actually that they make, I forget what brand, but they make hot cocoa mix with those marshmallows in it.
I saw that. Yeah, I thought that was really smart marketing.
Yeah. So I kind of want to check that out. And I also really liked Fruit Loops. Remember Fruit Loops?
Yes. Those were something Mara ate a lot. I don't know if they were her favorite, but she liked those.
Yeah. Mara ate those a lot too. So I think that maybe that's why I ate them. But so nothing too healthy. Mostly just sugar cereals. Yeah, it was funny. My brother, Martin, had a 90s themed birthday party that we threw for him. And we bought all these snacks and cereals that we used to eat growing up. And I remember going through like the cereals we had bought. And he was like, oh my God, like we ate all this stuff. Like, do you see the sugar content in it? You know, he's like super health conscious now. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But they made for some good childhood memories. And
yes.
Yeah. And there's actually an ice cream place here. It was closer to our old apartment, but it's an ice cream place that specializes in mixing cereal into ice cream.
Oh, that's
make,
cool.
Like difference in it. Yeah. And so, and you can kind of pick. So the past couple of times we've gone, I've done like a vanilla with Fruity Pebbles. You remember those?
Yes.
Fruity Pebbles. And I would get like a salted caramel drizzle on top. And then Raul went like full cinnamon and did like a vanilla ice cream with Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Honey Grahams, those little teddy bear cookies. Or no, they're called Teddy Grahams. Teddy Grahams?
Teddy Grahams, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so that ice cream place is really cool because you can mix any kind of cereal you want basically into whatever flavor ice cream you want. And it's really cool.
That is cool. I thought you were going to tell me they made ice cream out of the cereal milk.
Now that would be a great idea.
Like sometimes it's the best tasting part.
I know, right? The milk at the end that sets everything up. I did, Raul and I did go, I have to look up the name of the restaurant. When we first moved here, we went to a place that served cocktails, but that's what the base was like, they were like milk.
What?
And they had, yeah, they had like cereal. Oh my gosh. Now I have to find out what this place is called. I have to look it up. Milk base. Okay, here we go. So this place is called, I remember now, it's called Nighthawk Breakfast Bar, and it's in Venice, and they serve what's called spiked cereal milk. And
oh, I like that.
Yeah, and so I think, if I remember correctly, the one that we had is their Cinnamon Toast Crunch one. So that one was Cinnamon Toast Crunch and rum. And then they have, I just looked up their menu online, they have two other ones. They have a Cocoa Puffs and vanilla vodka. And they also have a peanut butter Cap'n Crunch with bourbon.
Ooh.
Yeah, doesn't it sound interesting? I remember liking the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one. And it is a strange concept, but it kind of worked.
Yeah, I would definitely try it.
If you don't mind getting a little tipsy early in the morning. All right, Rachel. Right. Well, sounds like we're going to Venice when you come.
Yeah, so on that to our list.
Spiked cereal milk.
So Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the one that sounded best to me, and that's what I used for my bake. I went back and forth on a couple of different ideas, but I decided to make a pie crust with it. So I crushed it up with some brown sugar and melted butter and pressed it into my pie tin, and then I used it to make a custard apple pie.
Ooh.
And it was really good. So that was, for one, it was my first custard apple pie, so now I'm in love with those. But the cinnamon flavor, you know, it was kind of a profile already in there. So it just enhanced that flavor. But the pie crust, it worked out really well. It remained crunchy. It was sliceable once it was cooked. So I think it's something that you could do if you wanted to add a different flavor to your pie. I think you could make like a graham cracker style crust with probably any cereal.
Okay. That's good to know, because that gives you a lot of, this is another example of a DIY sort of, like you have a base graham cracker crust base recipe and you can add whatever you want to it.
Right? You can change out that flavor.
Very nice. So it held together well. And was this a graham cracker crust recipe that you had like found previously, or was this like a specific bake that, do you know what I mean? Like the recipe?
No, I think I just cobbled the crust together because the recipe I was using called for a graham cracker crust. So I just kind of did what I would do if I was making a graham cracker crust, but just used the crushed up cereal instead.
Gotcha. Very cool. Adding that to the list of things I want you to make me when I come.
We're going to need a little bit more time.
I'm going to stay a whole month so that you have enough time to make me all these things.
There we go.
Wow, Rachel. So again, like all sweets and no lows?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, well. I'm very proud of you. I wish I sounded less creepy as I congratulate you on your baking successes. Raul, edit that out to make me sound less creepy. You can do that, right?
You've become a successful murderer. Look at you.
Yeah, can you tell I was like rubbing my hands together like a villain? Well, well. Yes. Rachel's being very successful in baking. I could be a voice actor. That's what I'm trying to say.
You could be.
Well, that sounds delicious, and I'm excited it worked out well. I guess I copied you because I also used Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I made cinnamon rolls and made like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch crumble to put on top. And I also had some rolled into the rolls.
Like in the filling.
In the filling, yes. And it tasted really good. And I have to say, you know, because I'm doing dairy-free, so this was a vegan cinnamon roll recipe, and already I was like, oh gosh, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But it actually was really good. And the crumble, the recipe that I had looked at talked about making the crumble and putting it in the bottom of the pan before you put the cinnamon rolls in there to bake. But instead, I just put them in there and put the crumble on top, because they were talking about like flipping it over.
Oh, like a sticky bun almost.
Yeah, but I was just like, that's just too much trouble. And I don't like, cinnamon rolls are not something that I want to be flipping over into another pan. Like the whole point is that you pull them out and you're serving them from the pan.
Right. They're not fancy.
Yeah, this is like my TED talk on cinnamon roll etiquette. Like you're not, You're not flipping anything over. They come straight from the pan. And yeah, and so the glaze, you know, because I couldn't use cream cheese.
Right.
So I tried two different glaze recipes. I tried the one that they recommended, which I hated. I thought it was terrible. But then I went back and found one that used butter. So I used vegan butter, milk, and I used almond milk instead of regular milk, and powdered sugar plus a little bit of almond extract. And that tasted amazing.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it was super good. And I know, like, I guess it's not as creative that I used Cinnamon Toast Crunch on top of a cinnamon roll. But actually, I had the same experience you did. Like, it boosted the flavor and it added, yes, like, texture to it, which made it more enjoyable in a way. So yeah, I feel like they turned out really well and I would make them again for sure.
You've got me wanting to try that. That sounds really good.
Well, I will add that to the list of things I will make you when you stay with me for a whole month.
Yay!
Why can't we just live our lives like that? Like, we just spend a month at each other's
place. There we go. We'll just trade off.
There you go. We can live. That's a sustainable way of life, isn't it?
I think so.
Movies encourage our imaginations and delight our senses. Some special movies also tickle our taste buds. When that happens, we can't help but try to recreate the desserts they featured. Today's movie selection is The Princess and the Frog. And in an extra special segment mashup, we are also going to be doing an In the Kitchen special feature where we fry up some delicious beignets. Rachel, what beignet recipe are you going to use today?
So I am going to be cheating and using a box of Café du Monde beignet mix.
Aha! That's okay. At least it's coming from a legendary beignet place.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
That's fair. I'm going to be using a small batch recipe, which will only make 4 to 6 beignets, which I am excited about because I don't want, I mean, they're so good, so I don't want a lot of them lying around for me to consume. And my dough has been sitting for a while, but you don't have to, your dough doesn't have to rest at all, which is nice.
Yeah, mine does not. And I'm going to, it normally makes 2 dozen donuts, so I'm going to half mine and make a dozen.
Okay, that's good. So we will head into the kitchen and get everything prepped and ready.
All right, hold on. Let me heat up my oil. I'm heating up my oil, everyone. So because I am using a mix, I decided to go a little bit fancier. With my powdered sugar topping, and I've mixed in some cinnamon and some cocoa powder to my powdered sugar.
Ooh, fancy. I like that.
So have you seen The Princess and the Frog?
I have. I think it's a really cute movie. I like the music in it a lot.
Yes.
And it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember like the beignets and the gumbo standing out to me. Like, in terms of the things that she makes. I don't know that I would ever kiss a frog, though.
I'm surprised that I can't quote this movie, because this is one of the movies that the school I worked at in Korea used to teach their kids English.
Really?
They would, like, play 30 seconds of it over and over again before moving on to the rest of the movie. So you would think it would be, like, embedded in my brain. But
yeah, I would think it'd be ingrained in your memory, for sure.
Right?
All right, I just dumped my oil in. I think the movie is cute too, because for a Disney movie, I mean, one of the common complaints is that the female leads don't have too much going for them besides like wanting to be rescued or whatever. But Tiana is amazing, and she has these dreams of opening up her own restaurant. And I really like all of the scenes where they flash back to like when she was a kid and her dad teaching her how to cook.
Yeah.
That montage is really sweet.
I love that part.
I also really like the firefly, Raymond.
Raymond. I can't do
it. Oh, yeah. He's got like a Cajun. Like a Cajun accent is really cute. Oil is terrifying, isn't it?
It is scary. I'm checking my temperature. Let's see. It says 370 is where I want to be. I am at, it's still going.
What kind of a thermometer do you have?
It's a thermopomp. It doesn't clip on, which I wish it did.
See, yeah, I was going to ask you, because I only have one of those, like, those ones that you stick in. I don't know what brand. Harbor? Haber is my brand, and you just, you're like sticking, well, you have to like hover over the oil to do that. I want one that.
Yes.
I also want one where you can clip it off.
And then I have that, I should have used the little spatula I have, because I could just stick it in the pot and let it sit usually.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I think beignets play a really important role in this movie too, because that's like what gets Tiana to that party where she meets the prince and then turns into a frog. Because her friend, that crazy blonde friend of hers, I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her name either.
But she tries her beignets and is like, oh, I need these for my party where I'm inviting this prince. So she hires her to do the catering for the beignets for this party. So the beignets really saved the day, is what I'm trying to say. While the oil is heating up, have you rolled out your dough yet?
No, I just poured, so mine is just the mix with the water, and I've just poured my water in, and I'm stirring that together.
Okay, I'm going to roll out my dough. I'm a little skeptical because I had to use almond milk instead of whole milk, so I'm not sure.
I think it'll probably work.
You think? Because I didn't realize how thin almond milk is. It's pretty
That's true. It is kind of on the thin side. I don't know. I always see, like, you can substitute in a lot of recipes your favorite milk. So I'm hoping.
That's one thing I should do more research on, I think. I know we're going to do dairy-free later this season, but in preparation for that, I'm going to do some research on the best, like, milk alternatives.
That's a good idea.
That'll be my project during Claudia's naps. Which can range anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours. The range is astonishing to me. Anybody else has a 3-month-old has any nap advice? She's actually a pretty good sleeper, but it's just funny because some days it's just like so unpredictable, like how long the nap is going to be. So I'm always trying to gauge, like, am I going to be able to do a bunch of household chores, or is this going to be like I walk out of the room and then I have to walk back in together?
Is your dough like more of a like shaggy type dough?
Kind of. It's coming. I just put a little bit of extra flour in there to kind of bring it together. And now it looks better.
I'm pondering how I'm going to get to the sink to wash my hands without touching my phone, which needs to come with me since I'm plugged into it. I'm going to roll this dough out first.
These in the kitchen segments always make me laugh because I'm not a great multitasker, so I'm like, what's happening? Okay, what am I
doing? What's happening?
That's most of what I say in my everyday life. What's happening? Okay, so I have my, okay, so it says divide the dough in half. All right, then, I will. I will divide in half.
Oh, and mine has me roll it all out. Roll to 1/8 inch thickness on a floured surface.
Mine has me, okay, so I divided my dough in half, and now I'm rolling it out into a 6-inch square. All right, rolling pin.
Rolling dough is one of my struggles. And to get it the right shape, to get it the right thickness.
Yeah.
I always have this, like, I've got a decent rectangle going on right now until you get to the bottom right, and then it, like, just jags off into an odd angle. Like, I don't know what to do to make it even.
I recently followed a recipe that said to have, like, sharp corners in the dough, and I was like, no. Like, it's already hard enough to get a general shape. But then to add the additional stress of trying to make it have sharp corners, and I don't know how one does that with dough, really.
Yeah, no. Was that for the puff pastry?
Yes, I think, yeah, because what else have I made? No, I think it was actually for my cinnamon rolls.
Oh. This is the one time I didn't grab an apron, I could really use one. I'm going to check the temperature on my oil.
Oh, good.
Okay, we're getting close.
Let's check.
300, 310, 320, 330, 340. So 30 degrees left just about. That'll go quick, I think. What are you going to use to cut your dough? Are you using like a knife or a pizza roller or what?
I have a pizza roller.
Okay, I'm going to grab mine too then. Are you good at eyeballing? Like if it says cut it into a 2-inch square or 2 1/4-inch square, are you good at that?
You know what I just got that's super helpful is one of those silicone mats that has the inches on it. Like you can roll out your dough. Raul just bought one for me. And that is because I usually just eyeball it, but now it feels more exact, which is nice.
Yeah, I have a ruler that I keep in the kitchen. But you're right. I do have three silicone mats, but one of them I think does have the inches on it. I'd forgotten about that.
Well, let me go check the oil.
So, Lou, your batter, did it change in appearance after resting?
You mean after I added, like, the substitutions or just?
No, like, didn't you have to leave it set for, like, 2 hours?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, it did rise, but that's pretty much the only thing that happened to it.
Gotcha, because mine's very, like, flat.
Is it? Oh, Rachel, this sounds...
Yeah, mine like doubled the size.
But I guess I guess a mix can only do so much in terms of puffiness, maybe.
I'm playing this game of chicken with the oil because I keep letting it like, I don't know, it just sounds scary. So I keep like lowering the heat and then it's like not hot enough.
Oh no.
Let me see.
Yeah, I'm reading mine right now. I'm back up to 330, but I'm waiting to see if it's going to get me hotter. Nope, still hanging out at 340. I'm going to bump my temperature up a little bit. I'm worried. I always have a hard time frying things because I get it too hot.
And yeah, then the first thing burns,
and so I turn it down, and then the next thing comes out soggy because it was not hot enough. And we have a deep fryer, which I use, like, for cooking, but I hate to pull it out just to make...
Just for these, yeah. I'm going to check my oil temperature again. Let's see. I think mine is ready. I'm going to try frying a couple and seeing what happens.
Okay.
Wish me luck, everyone.
Good luck.
Rachel, what step are you on now?
My oil is almost there, so I'm just getting everything set up. I need something to drain it on when it pull it out. And I prepared my dough way across the kitchen, so I had to move it all over to be next to the fryer so I wasn't running back and forth.
Smart. I should probably do that. Mine is also across the kitchen.
And I'm curious. I've never heard of or seen filled beignets until I started doing a little bit of research for this show. And some people fill them like they do donuts with, like, jelly or Nutella after they're cooked.
Oh.
And then some people, like, fold them over and fill them that way before they're fried. With like lemon curd or something like that.
That's interesting. I would think filling them like a donut.
Yeah, it never occurred to me to fill these, but I think that would be easier than trying to finagle the filling while it's frying.
I actually had to stop and clean my little spoon that I'm using for frying because I just realized it still had stuff on it from the last time I used it.
Oh no.
Like, what is this? Like dried dough. Don't know if you can hear my baby cooing too. What is that song from Pocahontas, Colors of the Wind?
Oh, no, I can't hear, but that's really cute.
I've curated a playlist for her of all of my favorite Disney songs. That's what I play for her when we do tummy time. And Raul's in there doing it with her. All right, okay, now I think I'm ready to pop this in. Let's see.
I hear it.
You hear it going?
Yes. All right, my oil is there too. I'll pop one in too. Does your recipe say how long?
Yeah, so it said on the first side, we're only doing, I think she said a minute.
Because mine just says until puffy and golden.
The vagueness. Yeah, mine says the first side, the first side fries for 1 to 2 minutes when golden brown on one side, flip using a fork and continue to fry. When that side is golden brown, another minute removed from the oil. So it sounds like maybe 1 to 2 minutes per side.
Per side, okay.
It also said not to walk away, and that's exactly what I did at first.
Oh, no. And mine's got me, like, flipping them continuously back and forth. So I'm trying that and seeing. It's getting golden. But I feel like a fork is too short. I've just got, like, a slotted spoon because I don't want to be that close to the hot oil. Ooh, I smell fried dough. That must mean it's about ready.
I love the smell of fried dough. Reminds me of like the state fair back home.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought of too.
Wonder if people think that's gross. Is that gross, you guys?
Okay, I'm going to pull mine because it's really golden and I don't want to burn it. I'm going to try doing like two this time. Let's see.
Wow, I think they're ready, Rachel. That's fast.
Yay! Yeah, I just pulled my first one out. I dropped two more in to kind of see if I can manage two at a time.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. I've done three. Let me pop this in here. So you said, tell me again, wait, the topping you're doing powdered sugar with what?
With cocoa powder and cinnamon.
Hmm. Rachel, have you ever been to New Orleans?
No, I really want to go, but you've been, haven't you?
I have been. I really loved it. I made sure to have, I went to Café du Monde to have beignets there. You wait a very long time to get a table. Very long time. But I think it's worth it. You're not, you know, it's like your only time going to New Orleans. They're really good. The coffee, I remember the coffee they served there too was like really interesting. It was like really strong.
Yeah, I've heard they're supposed to have good coffee. Yeah, and this mix is not the mix you brought me, but it is the same mix, I think.
Yes. I also remember buying a box of that mix, but I don't remember the outcome.
I feel like we made them together once, but I don't remember where we were. I can't place the kitchen.
Were we, must have been in, were we in Charleston?
That's what I can't remember. I don't remember if we were at your place in Charleston or if we were at the governor's school kitchen. I don't remember. I feel like we were at your house, though. No, probably Charleston. I think I might have overcooked my next two there.
They're are they like extra, hard. Extra golden brown?
They're not super dark, but they're hard. Are they meant to be hard? I don't remember.
They should be like puffy, and I think they should be soft.
Yeah, they're puffed in places, but like not uneven puff. I don't know.
Uneven puff. That's the name of your biography, autobiography.
Uneven puff.
All right, I just, it's a lot of powdered sugar. But can one have too much powdered sugar?
I wouldn't think so.
Right?
And I feel like it soaks in, and then you have to hit it again with a little bit more powdered sugar.
Yeah. My poor dog. Is Sadie afraid of the sound of oil, like, spattering?
No. Aw, is Dora.
Yeah, she's afraid of it. She just walked into our bedroom because she doesn't like being in the kitchen when we're frying things.
Poor girl.
I know. It's a tough life.
No, Sadie doesn't like it when I make macarons because you have to slam the trays. So she didn't.
I do remember.
Didn't like the pan banging cookies either because of that, but she doesn't seem to mind the oil.
I almost burned one. Oh my!
Yeah, I almost feel like my oil is getting hotter.
Is it? It's always hard to maintain the temperature you want. You know what I mean? Like while you're frying.
Because I would have thought they would have gotten. I mean, I am terrible at science, but I would have thought the oil would have cooled off because I'm putting like colder things into it. And maybe it doesn't work like that.
All right. So I ended up making four. I have more dough, but I think I'm going to save that for another morning. Come here, dough.
Come here, dough. Did you do a good job of cutting yours into nice little squares?
They are square-like.
Yes, mine too.
They have four general size.
That's funny.
Also, one of them is like way toastier than the others.
Yeah, the two I just put in, the one I pulled out is very puffy, but the next two seem to be like flat.
Yeah, this one kind of grew like a extra appendage over here. A little lumpy.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've got beignets or not, but I do have some kind of vaguely puffy dough in most places. I have four more to go in my fryer.
All right, these look okay. I'm going to take a picture. That's something I always forget to do when we do baking.
Me too.
All right, let me go get my phone. Let's see.
Yeah, I think if these go well, I'll take them to my neighbor, and if not, then they'll just go in the bin.
Trying to think of where to take a picture.
Hmm. These are kind of pale still. I'm going to let them go and get my powdered sugar for the ones that are pulled out.
All right, Rachel, I'm going to try one of my beignets.
Okay, go ahead. I just dusted mine, so I'm going to take a bite here in a minute. Let's see here. I'm just hoping this powdered sugar ratio is right and that the cocoa powder doesn't choke me.
That actually turned out really well.
I'm going to take a picture of, I love how it rose on the inside.
Are yours like completely empty on the inside? Is that how they're supposed to be?
Yeah, but like when you bite into it, it's like you can see the layer. I don't know how to describe it. Kind of like when you bite into like a croissant almost. I'll just have to send you the picture. I don't know if I'm describing it right.
The thing about these is I think you have to eat them like fresh.
Right away. Yeah, I think so too.
Right?
And if I'm being honest, like if they didn't have the powdered sugar on them, I probably wouldn't eat more than one.
Yeah. Now, what if you filled them, though?
Probably.
I feel like a Nutella would be really good in these.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, I think overall mine are underpuffed, so I would recommend probably making them.
I will say I actually feel like they turned out okay. I will recommend this recipe, you guys. I like the outcome.
Oh, yeah. My poor last one. It looks just more like, and I turned the heat up the last half of it or so. It's just like a piece of naan. Pita chip.
Beignet chip.
Here we go. Dessert nachos.
That's got to be a thing, right? Dessert nachos?
Yeah, I think my niece made some with like cinnamon apples and stuff on top.
That sounds good.
But I think she used homemade tortilla chips with cinnamon on them, I think, if I remember right.
I like cough when I inhale too much powdered sugar.
Yes, I have the same problem. I can recommend the chocolate powdered sugar. It's good.
I like the sound of it. Well, friends, this was another episode of In the Kitchen.
Ta-da.
Sorry that you can hear me chewing.
That's the real life kitchen part. Or choking on battered sugar.
A podcast where all you hear is your host choking on the fake good they make.
Yeah, all donuts are good fresh, but the downside to these in comparison to regular donuts is I don't think they'll hold up past like the rest of today.
Yeah, they have to be eaten immediately. Powdered, and my throat is like so dry.
Yes.
Trying not to cough while I talk to you.
Yeah, I licked some off my finger and I like, now I can't breathe.
That was fun though. I'm glad I didn't burn anything or burn my house down.
I'm glad you didn't burn your house down either.
Well, it's time for us to sign off. Thank you for listening to this episode of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune into the next batch of Procrastibaking to see us light some things on fire with our kitchen torch recipes. We will also get a new passport stamp as we travel to Thailand and make some Thai-inspired desserts. Until next time, stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. If you'd like to share your procrastibaking stories and photos with us, you can send an email to procrastibaking@yahoo.com. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.